This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. A long bout of diarrhea turned out to be colon cancer. At only 27 years old and with no family history of cancer, the diagnosis came as a surprise to budding MC and columnist Chu Meizi. After removing her entire rectum and 12 cm of her large intestine, Meizi is now a year and a half cancer-free and ready to share her story. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Lin and BFM, for having me.
First up, tell us the backstory. I mean, how old were you and what was going on in your life at the time? What were the symptoms like? I can't even begin to imagine what it must have been like.
As mentioned, I was 27 at the time of diagnosis. And basically, a little bit about the symptoms and the backstory. I was actually at the peak of my career in terms of we've just completed hosting The Influencer, which is a web series that I've actually thought up, and it was a success, and I was the host of the show as well. And at that point of time, I was actually emceeing quite a lot of events and set to host another show already. And I've just completed my PhD in psychology at that point, or near completion, because I successfully defended my dissertation proposal. So when I came back from the States, I was there to defend my dissertation proposal. So when I came back, I had a month-long diarrhea. So before that, I had symptoms such as I would have diarrhea once a month. But to me, I thought that was just, you know, diarrhea. Because, you know, I probably had a sensitive stomach after coming back from the States and things like that. But no, it wasn't diarrhea. So after that month-long diarrhea, my parents, my dad insisted I go for colonoscopy. And my specialist actually told me that I didn't need to do it because it mostly happens, I mean, people above 50 usually do it and not people like in my age range. So because it's pretty invasive. So, but my dad insisted on it. And because of the colonoscopy, we found out that there was a tumor in my rectum. And yeah, and then it was cancerous.
How did you take the news? I mean, when you found out, a lot of people would just think, well, you know, I'm unwell, or maybe I have a bug. You know, nobody's going in thinking, oh, I have cancer.
Yeah, definitely not. So I was like, just to please my dad, I was like, yes, okay, I'm going to do a colonoscopy, although I don't think I need to do it, but I'll just do it because you insist on it. And he's a very persistent man, by the way. And so I went for it, and it was on that day itself. I checked into the hospital for the scope with three other patients in the morning at around 7-something in the morning. And then everyone left when I woke up from sedation around 2-something p.m. And I was like asking the nurse, you know, hey, can I go now? You know, everyone's left. And she was like, no, please stay back. I was like, I know it's protocol that the doctor comes and see me and tell me and, you know, and things like that. And then she's like, no, please stay, because I was about to leave by 5 p.m. because I didn't want to hit, like, you know, KL traffic. And then the doctor walks in at 5:30 and he's like, with a frown on his face, he was like mumbling. I think he was like quite anxious to tell me as well. And then suddenly the only words I actually heard were like, there's a tumor, but don't worry, I've taken a few samples and have sent it for a biopsy. It's because through the scope you can actually see I believe that, you know, for especially specialists, they can see whether it's, you know, cancerous or not. But I'm sure in my mind, I mean, I was thinking, okay, it's just a biopsy, but the tumor part, I was like, okay. And I broke down. So it was definitely a shock for me and the people around me. And a few days later, I found out that it was cancerous.
What was the next step once that happened? So from diagnosis, I mean, going through that shock, going through the realization that you have this disease, right? That, you know, you just keep hearing about and you hope will never affect you, but now you have it. What was the next step from there?
So cancer is not truly like, okay, although both my grandfathers had it, but my late grandfather from my father's side, he had it at 80-something. So, you know, it's old age cancer, and also it's prostate. So I had no prior history of colorectal cancer or anything related, you know, in terms of those organs. And yeah, so basically talking about the shock, the first 4 days, I cried every day, even though I just found out it was tumor. But on the fourth day, when I found out that it was cancerous, I told myself that I'm going to stop crying because I have to be strong for the people around me. And then I went to see my surgeon, and that's when everything just happened. Like, I made a decision that I'm going to do the surgery as soon as possible before the cancer spreads. And then I seek a second, opinion. I did that all in 5 days, I mean, in a week. And also went for my CT scans, you know, and everything that needs to be done before I checked into surgery.
What were your main concerns after being diagnosed? What was the, you know, what were your biggest fears?
All I thought was, I'm only in my 20s and I just wanted, I'm not going to be greedy with life. I'm not married yet and I don't have kids. So I just want to be able to experience that. And also be there for my family. Yeah.
What treatments did you end up undergoing?
I guess, the first, I did surgery to remove the tumor and the cancerous part. The first surgery resulted in me having a colostomy bag because there were complications. My blood pressure was too low to complete the joining of the rectum and the colon. So, yeah, I had a colostomy bag for 1.5 months, and then I joined it back during the second surgery. So that was the only, like, in terms of treatment, that was the only treatment that I've experienced. I didn't go for chemo or radio.
What was it like having the colostomy bag? Because I think for many people, that can be quite a traumatic idea, the idea that you have to have that bag.
I kind of brushed, I'm sorry, Dato Yunus, if you're listening to this, but I kind of brushed him off. Like, it didn't even register in my mind that I would have this bag, because he was like, oh, only 5% of, you know, people with that have gone through this surgery will have this bag. So I'm the 5%. I'm the 2% of the females in Malaysia that had colorectal cancer in my 20s. Lucky me. But anyways, yeah, so I'm the 5%, and it was a truly challenging experience. If we talk about my journey with cancer, that I would definitely have to say is one of the most challenging experience, simply because when I woke up from the first surgery, I found out I had a bag on. And then how to deal with it, right? So during the experience, I actually had very, very sensitive skin. So I had rashes around the open wound, which is the intestines that was in the bag. And after 2 weeks, it became unbearable because it would spill all over my clothes, my bed. And then I thank God that my aunt introduced a colostomy nurse to help me with a different type of colostomy bag. And that really helped because there was like powder to ease the sensitivity of the skin and things like that. But I felt alone during the entire period. I was trying to look for someone my age to speak to about this, maybe advise me, but I couldn't find anyone.
The thing about colon cancer is that colon and colorectal cancer is that in conversations about it, it comes up time and time again that this is an area of the body that people don't like to think about, you know, so they'd rather just sort of pretend it's not there. It has to be there, but you just don't want to actually focus on it so much. How did you get over that stigma or the idea that, God, you know, this is colon cancer of all things?
Okay, mine wasn't technically colon cancer. It was like rectal cancer, so it's like considered in the category of colorectal cancer, right? First of all, I mentioned earlier, cancer wasn't something that I thought, you know, it didn't even come across that I would have it, right? And so there was no stigma for me in that sense, in terms of colorectal cancer. But then, of course, after experiencing the colostomy bag, I understand why there's a stigma to it. But whoever that's experiencing it now, understand that there should not be a stigma to it.
How did you kind of relieve your anxiety and try to stay positive through all of this?
Because after I was diagnosed, after the biopsy results came back and I was confirmed that it was cancerous, I told myself that I'm not going to cry. Like I said, I have to be strong for the people around me. And if I'm going to come out the winner, I just have to be happy, positive, and live whatever life that I have. And that's what God gave me, right?
Was it a struggle to kind of stay positive through all of it? Or once you had that moment of breakthrough, did it become easier from there?
Yeah, it became really, really easy after that fourth day, after my diagnosis that it was cancer. So the first 4 days was just shock, and then immediately it was acceptance that I have it, and then how to solve the problem. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Chumezi, cancer survivor, and we're talking about her journey through her diagnosis, treatment, and why she's sharing her story today. Up next, we find out more about the support of her family and friends, as well as the cost of treatment in this country. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Chumezi, cancer survivor, is in the studio with me today. We're talking about her journey through surviving colorectal cancer, essentially. You were talking about, you know, being positive for your family. Did you ever feel pressure to say you're okay? You know, to always be telling people, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Or did you genuinely feel, no, I'm really okay?
I genuinely felt, yeah, I'm actually really okay. And I think that was the emotional and mental part of myself that told me that once I tell my brain that I'm okay, then the body follows.
What kind of support did your family and friends give you through all of it?
They were really, really supportive in terms of encouragement. They tried, like one of my friends actually tried to look for a second opinion doctor because I had such a short time. And, you know, appointments are really difficult to get, but she actually got me an appointment with this sought-after doctor for my second opinion, and he reassured me that I'm going ahead with the right surgeon. And, yeah, these are the little things, right? And they visited me in the hospital when it's so far away from where we live. And I think, to be honest, I came out a much more appreciative person of this experience, I would say.
To someone, to all the people out there who might be listening and who know someone who has a cancer diagnosis, what advice would you offer to them? Because people can often feel kind of at a loss. You know, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to react, but you want to be there for someone. What advice would you have for the people who want to be there for their family and their friends?
Truly, it's about the little things that count. It's just that visit or that call, or that even that email, because I have friends living in the States, but they would like sometimes text me, check on me. And just understanding that for myself, I know how I would want it, but I think for a lot of other cancer patients out there or people going through illnesses, all they want is just the fact that, you know, someone out there loves them. So it's just showing love in various ways. It's the gestures and the action that count.
How did you manage the cost of your treatment? What would you advise? It's something that is worrying to many, I think, the idea that cancer can be so costly.
It is very, very exorbitant. Both my surgeries amounted to quite a lot, 70,000 to 80,000. And because I had problems with my insurance, my parents had to pay up front on my behalf, and then we had to make sure we tried to claim, and we got it back only after half a year. So my advice to everyone out there is, first, cancer costs or being sick is very, very expensive. Secondly, get protected, you know, get insurance. I mean, and make sure you are able to trust your agent.
Out of curiosity, did your doctors ever tell you what they thought might have been among the reasons that led up to you being in this tiny, tiny percentage of women who have colorectal cancer here, you know, in your age group?
I don't think that they can give me, like, a cause, you know. So I personally think maybe it's a bit of, my surgeon also, we both guesstimate, like, maybe it could be a bit of stress. And probably the food I ate in the States, it was really, probably really unhealthy. Yeah.
So just a combination of those things.
Yeah.
Overall, how would you say your life has changed since being cancer-free?
I pray to God that I'm cancer-free. I would say that for sure, I came out much stronger as a person, and I'm able to share my story. Hence, recently, through all the comments, messages, and stuff from others, I'm able to start a movement called Share Strength, and recently launched A New Norm, which is a web series. So I also thank everyone who has given me tremendous support on social media. Yeah.
When it comes to that web series, A New Norm, it's about, as you know, your experiences through this whole thing. But initially you said that you didn't want to share your story. Is that right?
Yes.
What caused the change of heart? What made you realize that, okay, no, this is something that I do want to talk about?
The first 6 months, I told everyone around me who knew not to tell anyone else. And I didn't want anyone to know about it because I felt really, really vulnerable. But after that 6 months, a lot of my friends came up to me and told me, you know, Macy, you've got a story to share, so please share it. So with their encouragement, I wrote my first blog post. But when I wrote that first blog post, I did not think anything of it. I just wanted to share that story and just tell people what I went through. And yeah, it went viral. Yeah.
At the beginning, why did you not want to let people know?
Because I felt weak, you know, I'm not sure about colorectal cancer being a stigma, but I'm sure having cancer is taboo in Malaysia, like, oh wow, you have cancer. I think a lot of people feel weak when they are diagnosed with cancer. They don't want people to judge them as in, are you okay, you know? Those questions always arise. Are you going to get better?
Since receiving all this support from social media, how has that changed your outlook on having had cancer and, you know, on having shared your story?
So I would like to go back to the fact, the reason why I started Share Strength Movement is because of the people who felt that they needed inspiration. All the comments and emails I get, they just lack awareness. Some of them, they ask me, like, oh, how does colonoscopy work? You know, questions like this. Or, you're an inspiration. You motivate me. There were some emails mentioning themselves having depression. So it doesn't mean that Share Strength is a movement to only motivate cancer patients, but also people with various challenges to feel not alone. And I want people to know that they are not alone. And hence, also A New Norm, just to touch more on what I went through. Yeah. And the Share Strength Movement.
A New Norm is a web series. And the Share Strength Movement, how exactly does that work?
It's just a hashtag Share Strength. So I would like to encourage everyone to hashtag when you're sharing an inspirational message or sharing your story about your illness or what you are going through in life. So every bi-weekly on Tuesdays, I would share a story on my social media about someone that is inspirational and motivational. Like I said, it does not have to be cancer. So my recent post yesterday, recent Tuesday, was on Nick Vujicic. He was born without limbs, and now he's a motivational speaker worldwide. He has inspired millions around the world. So he inspires me, and I know he inspires millions as well.
One thing that I'm getting out of what you're saying is the importance of having people to talk to.
You know,
you said that you felt very lonely. Yeah, exactly. Could you, you know, kind of share more of your thoughts on that idea of community, especially when you're going through something as difficult as illness or as difficult as colorectal cancer?
So, like I said, for me, I just wanted to find someone who was wearing a colostomy bag my age that I could speak to. But I could not find that one person. And that's why I felt alone. Although I had tremendous emotional support from my friends and family at that time, I didn't feel like they could truly understand what I was going through. Because for them, they are not going through it, right? And I wanted to know whether others who are wearing it had like sensitivity around their skin, and whether, you know, it leaked out and things like that. So through that, I basically, through sharing, I also gained motivation and inspiration from other people's comments. A lot of people share their stories to me as well.
Are there any changes after cancer that you've made in your life?
Okay, before cancer, I would like to say I lead a very healthy life. I sleep early, I don't drink, I don't smoke. I eat pretty healthily, but now I eat even more, like, towards more vegetarian and organic, and I watch what I eat very, very carefully. I make sure I get my 8 hours every day, even though I did before this, but now it's even, like, stricter. And I exercise. Before this, I didn't exercise. Probably that was my vice. And of course, last but not least, I've changed as a person in terms of mindset. Like I said, I appreciate the little things, and I appreciate the people around me more. I think after going through a life-threatening illness, your perspective on life clearly changes.
What was it like when you woke up, you know, after your second surgery, or when you went back in for that checkup and they told you, okay, you know, we got it all?
Because they did a biopsy after my first surgery, and my surgeon contacted me. He's like, I've got good news for you. And I was walking down, you know, with my colostomy bag from my house, you know, the staircase. And I was really, really happy. And then my mom's like, because I just checked out of hospital like a week before that, and she's like, do you want to go out today? I was like, yeah, okay, let's go out. So yeah, we went out to celebrate because I found out that there is no more cancer, and he cut out enough. Yeah.
Undergoing a difficult experience can make recounting the stories hard. How do you encourage people, you know, through the Share Strength movement, through the people who write to you, how do you encourage them to share or to begin that process of being a part of a community, being talking to others, helping others and themselves who might be going through this?
Okay, just to recap, like this morning when I emceed an event for AXA Cancer Care, I was speaking to two other cancer survivors on stage, and one of them actually broke down. I think, like you mentioned, recounting the story. Even for myself, I would break down. So recounting the story definitely brings back memories. It's difficult for anyone, I think, but it's needed. And these people, at the end of it, I think everyone, cancer survivor, patients, whoever, needs to know that you are still here today, especially cancer survivors, right? Or people who have gone through illnesses. You are here today and you've survived. You've come out a winner. So, and it's very important to share your story because you are giving inspiration and hope to other people who will or might be going through the same thing. And that's why I would like to encourage everyone to hashtag share strength. Definitely, please, if you have any challenges that you are facing, you want to share your story, go to macy.com, comment, and actually, I would answer any comments that I get. And also on my Facebook page or Instagram. Or you can check out my Share Strength post. So let's try to build this community and grow it bigger so that nobody feels alone.
Finally, what would you want to say to someone who is battling cancer, or someone who's in that stage that you were, you know, in that 4-day stage where they don't know if they have it, they know something is wrong, and they're worried?
All I can say is, don't worry. It's easier said than done. But stay positive. I think being positive and knowing that you can survive and get through this is the first step to winning the battle.
Thank you very much for coming in, Maisie.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
I've been speaking with Chu Maisie, cancer survivor, and we've been talking about her journey through beating cancer, basically. And you've been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.